Including my wife, I hasten to add. I didn't get to say much. But I listened. And at one point, they were talking about the different book clubs that they all belonged to and the books they were reading. And it just got me thinking that reading is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I love nothing more than curling up with a good book. And I have a great debt of gratitude to pay to Agatha Christie, who got me into reading. I've got one of her books here. I think she's a wonderful writer. It's no surprise to me that she's third on the list of all-time booksellers after the Bible and Shakespeare. Funnily enough, though, all the books are pretty much the same, aren't they? The first part of the book includes usually a murder, and during the investigation, all sorts of facts emerge which make very little sense or no sense. Clues are revealed, but the mystery remains as to who it's all pointing to. Who is the one who's committed the murder? Who's done it? And then at the end of the book, Hercule Poirot or Miss Marple gather them all in the library, and the seemingly disparate bits of information suddenly all make sense. It's known as the reveal in the trade. What seems complicated and unfathomable becomes clear as it is revealed. And in many ways, the Bible is like that too. The Old Testament is full of clues and pointers to the one who is to come to save mankind, the one who is to reconcile us to God. It's sometimes referred to like this, like there's a cross, and it's like the cross of St. Andrew, like this. And all this bit at the bottom is the Old Testament pointing towards the cross, pointing towards Jesus. And the New Testament, all this bit, is all about Jesus. It's revealing him that has been predicted in the Old Testament. And it reveals who Jesus is. And this morning we're looking at John the Baptist's encounter with Jesus. As Warren said, it's the first in a series of looking at encounters with Jesus. And all these stories, that looking through them, as I have done, they're all very familiar to us, which really helps. But they all point to different lessons about who Jesus is and what our relationship with Jesus is, how we are to respond to him, what our walk with him should be like. So I'm going to use the early part of John's Gospel, that bit that was read to us. I will be using little bits before that as well, and a little bit from Matthew's Gospel. So please do bear with me. And I pray that as we that we can all take something from today's passage as we unpack it and help us in our daily lives with Jesus. Before I go any further, let me pray. Father, as we come to study your word together, help us to see your truths in a clear way. Help us to see how we might apply them to our lives for your glory alone. I pray, Father, that I speak only the truth, and that your word is carried by the Holy Spirit into each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So this chap, John the Baptist, I don't know about you, but for me he's always been a bit of a bit part player in the big story of Jesus. You know, if it was a film, I love films, and if it was a film, I'm not sure he'd figure too high in the list of supporting actors going forward for an Oscar. I'd think more about the disciples, about Peter and Paul, but not John. After all, the gospel writers reveal a rather strange character. And this is where I'd like us to just turn back to Matthew and chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. What a strange crowd. He wasn't smartly and sharply dressed. His diet was weird, I can tell you that, because I go to Slimming World, and if you had locusts and wild honey, he wouldn't have many going there, I tell you. He wasn't in the swanky part of town, he was out in the desert. His message wasn't love and peace. He doesn't sound very attractive, does it? But read on. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea, the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. You can't help come to the conclusion that something amazing is going on. God was at work through John the Baptist in a most powerful way. And what does Jesus think about John the Baptist? Well, can we skip forward to chapter 11 in Matthew? And verse 9. Matthew 11, verse 9. Jesus says John was more than a prophet. And then in verse 11, he says this amazing thing. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Now that narrows it down a bit, doesn't it? Can you think of anybody that wasn't born of a woman? I can only think of Adam in the Bible. It includes everybody. That means Jesus is proclaiming that John the Baptist is greater than Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, Samson, David, you name it. It's clear what Jesus thinks of this man, John the Baptist. And in seeing why Jesus makes this astonishing claim, we see the true importance of John's mission. We see how John recognized who Jesus was. We see how he related to Jesus. And we see in this passage how we responded to knowing Jesus. And so how we should do that too. So if you'd like to keep your finger in Matthew 11, that would be great, because I'll come back to it at the end. Although how you do that if you've got a mobile phone and a tablet, I'm not entirely sure you keep your finger in that. Perhaps you don't need to. So let's pick up the story in the passage we had read to us in John's Gospel, chapter 1. And this is a different John writing this. This is, we'll call him John the Gospel writer, just to differentiate between him and John the Baptist. To structure it, I've put three headings that are in the news sheet. How John recognizes Jesus, how John relates to Jesus, and how John responds to him. So first, how John recognizes Jesus. John the Gospel writer makes it absolutely clear that Jesus was not known or understood. We see this in chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Then in verse 26. I baptize you with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. Verse 31. I myself did not know him. Verse 33. I would not have known him. It's truth today that we live in a world, in a society that largely does not recognize Jesus. We've all been there, haven't we? None of us knew who he was until he was revealed to us. How was Jesus revealed to John? Verse 33. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. To understand this, we need to back up a little and see what John's mission was. It was to make Jesus known so that he was no longer hidden. We see this back in verse 6, John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. And in verse 31, I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. So we see from this that John was sent by God with the express mission to make Jesus known and that through him all might believe. Now, John doesn't relate the story of Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist, but we all know it, don't we? We read it, I found it in Matthew 3, no need to look at it now, but it says this. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So that verse 33, back in John's Gospel, indicates that John the Baptist was told by God that this was to be the sign, that this was the one who would be baptizing with the Holy Spirit. In other words, this will be the Christ. This will be the Messiah, the chosen one of God, who would rescue his people. It was God's word that told John the Baptist. John listened to God's word and recognized Jesus and believed. So in application for us, there's a couple of things we need to get hold of. The Jesus we worship is the Jesus revealed by God's word. No other Jesus is valid. We should avoid saying things like, I think Jesus is like this, or in my opinion, Jesus is like that. What we think and our opinion don't matter. It's what it says in the Gospels. It's the Gospel writers that reveal Jesus to us. And it's Jesus himself that does that through those Gospel writers. The second thing is that this means that when we want to introduce Jesus to others, we do so by opening the Word of God and sharing with it what it says about him. Paul tells us this in his letter to the Philippians. He says, you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. That's our job. So that's John recognizing Jesus. He does it by listening to God's word and seeing that come true. The second heading is how John relates to Jesus. And we have two major clues. First, compared to Jesus, John saw himself as less than a slave. In the Jewish culture, a slave was the lowest of the low in terms of ranks. And within the ranks of slaves, the lowest of the low was those who would do the menial tasks, like removing the master's shoes. In verse 27, John says of Jesus, he is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. In other words, compared to Jesus, he doesn't even register on the lowest of the low scale. He's below even that. Second, John the Baptist says in verse 30, this is the one I meant when I said, a man comes after me, has surpassed me because he was before me. Sounds a bit complicated. Well, in the Jewish culture, the older person, the older brother, would be afforded due respect from the younger. And we know that Jesus was younger than his cousin John. But John knows that Jesus is greater because he was in the beginning. John's gospel starts with that famous first verse in chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So whilst Jesus held John in high regard, no one is greater than he, John was completely humble and realized that compared to Jesus, he was completely inadequate. He falls far short. When Wendy and I did the Alpha course, which brought us to a faith, we were encouraged during the course to, at one point, to think of a wall, like the wall here, so it'd be the wall from the floor up to the sort of top of the window there. And it said to us, right, so now imagine that that's the wall of righteousness, and at the top are the good people, and at the bottom are really bad people. Who would you have at the top? And we came up with people like Mother Teresa and Billy Graham, I think, and I can't remember when, yeah, Martin Luther King, people like that we thought were really good. Who would we put at the bottom? Well, we had Hitler down there, Stalin, people traffickers, that sort of thing. But then they said, now put yourself where you think you should be. And we very generously put ourselves quite high up in the middle of the wall, so just north of middle. And then they said, where is Jesus on that wall? And we realized that Jesus was way up in the sky, way above this wall, way into, probably further than the moon, the sun, infinity. Jesus is so far above us. And it made us realize just how unworthy we were. So, is that how we see ourselves in comparison to Jesus? Are we that humble? If you're like me, there are times when I do feel just like that. I feel completely unworthy, amazed that God would listen to my prayers, awestruck that Jesus would die for one such as me. But there are other times I get above myself. Times when I forget that everything I have, any gifts that I might have, come from him. I congratulate myself on how good I am and how brilliant, and sometimes I want recognition from my friends or colleagues. And you'll be able to relate to those things yourselves, I'm sure. But there's a great reminder every time we have communion, isn't there? When we all pray, that we're not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under his table. And we're confessing that we are the lowest of the low compared to him. We all fall far short. And that's what we need to remember, isn't it? And it should shape our devotion to want to know him more, to revere him. So we've seen how John recognized Jesus, and by following his word, we've seen how John relates to Jesus with complete humility through recognizing who he is. So thirdly, how John responds to Jesus. And bearing in mind that we have read together already from the early part of John's gospel, it's clear that John was sent by God to reveal Jesus that we all might be saved through him. So having recognized him, John now sees just who he is and describes Jesus in three ways. First, in verse 29, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We're so familiar with that description, aren't we, as Jesus as the Lamb of God. I was surprised to find it only appears here twice, in verse 29 and verse 36. But we know what it means. Jesus is likened to the Passover lamb from Exodus 12, or the scapegoat, where the high priest in Jewish times would put his hand on this pure lamb and transfer all the sins of the people onto the lamb, and then the lamb would be sent off into the wilderness as an atonement for their sins. Jesus will be that sacrificial lamb. When he dies on the cross, John sees that and states it now. Second, John describes Jesus as the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Just look in verse 32 and verse 33, and you'll find that John says the Spirit came on him and remained on him. It will remain on Jesus. That's really important. It's said twice so that we don't miss it. You see, in the Old Testament, people sometimes ask, was the Holy Spirit around in the Old Testament? Yeah, absolutely. But the Old Testament came upon people, and it was temporary. God conveyed that Spirit onto someone for a specific purpose. Here, it's permanent. It remained on Jesus. The Holy Spirit enabled Jesus to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So when Peter stands up at Pentecost, emboldened and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and tells thousands of people the true gospel of who this Jesus was, they're awestruck. And they say to Peter, what should we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The promise is for us. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He conveys that Holy Spirit to us. And the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit that cleanses us. And third, very quickly, in verse 34, John reveals Jesus as the Son of God. Only the Son of God could have the Holy Spirit and then baptize others in the Holy Spirit. So you remember Paul's call to the Philippians to shine like stars in the universe as they hold out the word of truth or the word of life. What does John do with this knowledge of who Jesus is? Verse 34, he testifies. He tells everyone who'll listen. John, the gospel writer, has made it abundantly clear that this is a main message. It is through John the Baptist that Jesus is revealed, and John testifies to this. Now you still hopefully have a finger in Matthew 11, and we'll just turn back to Matthew 11 and verse 11. Let's just read it again. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there's not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Then look what he says. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. If John the Baptist is greater than anyone who's gone before up to that point, who are those who are least in the kingdom of heaven who are greater than John? Well, dear brothers and sisters, it's you and it's me. It's all those who have given their lives to Jesus and have entered the kingdom of heaven. John is greater than those before him because he came to reveal Jesus. He recognized him and testified to him. How are we greater than John? What makes us in any way greater than him? Well, there are three ways. First, we too are sent by God. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations." That's our great commission. That's a call to us. Second, we have the Holy Spirit conveyed to us when we come to Christ. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're cleansed and guided by him. But third, we have a message that's greater than the message that John the Baptist had. John died before Jesus went to the cross and rose again. You see, at the heart of the Christian message is rescue. And that message that John the Baptist had in the desert, that seemingly unattractive message, "Repent and enter the kingdom of heaven," said this: if you carry on the road you're on, ignoring God, doing your own thing, mired in sin, you're heading for eternal damnation. Repent and turn. Turn to God. And through Jesus, we can now say, through Jesus has done on the cross, he has paid the penalty for all your sins. There is freedom from those sins awaiting you. You just have to accept that free gift. And as Peter said at Pentecost, repent in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. What a message that is that we have to give. That's what makes us greater. It's nothing to do with us. It's the message we have. It's the Holy Spirit within us. And it's God sending us out. So we have seen how this encounter between John the Baptist and Jesus helped John to recognize who Jesus was through listening to God's word and seeing and believing. We've seen how John related to Jesus, how humble he was, and recognized that only through Jesus can we be saved. Nothing that we can do ourselves. And third, we've seen how John responded. He testified to who Jesus was. And that's our call too. If you are yet to fully see and recognize who Jesus is, then pray. Ask him to reveal himself to you through the scriptures. Open his word and read it for yourselves. Ask a Christian friend to read the Bible with you. Point out all those passages that point to Jesus and who he is and what he has done for us and what he can do for you. And if, like me, you are a Christian, then ponder on this amazing truth that we have been told, that we are greater than John the Baptist, who was greater than all those who have gone before, but we're only greater because of God and what he has done in our lives. How, as the universal church, do we respond to being called by Jesus, greater than John the Baptist, and to get the word out to others? That's worth pondering on, isn't it? Let me pray.